Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It is a special spillover today. Jay Foreman is here, but also Ron Brown still with us, the man who recruited Jay Foreman to go to Nebraska. Got him here to Lincoln.
Hey, let me tell you something, man. Don't get fooled by Coach Brown. When he lays it all on the line, he got me to commit. I was already kind of, it was a layup, but he was it was an easy choice. I had some obviously other choices, but coming down, I didn't know much about Nebraska. I didn't at all. One of my best friends, who's Father Thomas now. He was Jason Spinhart. I mean, he's from Lincoln. His family's from Lincoln. He looks like a Nebraskan. Mm-hmm. You know, kind of fair skin, mm-hmm. bright red hair. Mm-hmm. I grew up in a Miami household, so that every year we would watch the Nebraska Miami. So that's all I really knew about Nebraska. Of course, I knew who Coach Osborne was, and I was like, oh, Nebraska's good. And he started telling me more about it when I kind of started getting recruited, and I got recruited after that game against, like, Lane and those guys, and came down to Lincoln. Didn't know what to expect, and it was phenomenal. I mean, they from the academic support and, with Coach Osborne coming up, it was a cold night, remember, and they were about to head off to play Florida State. And he stopped in, and, you know, him and my dad and Coach Brown, they talked. You know, it was just those three. I just kind of was there as a
– But your dad – your dad wasn't big on Nebraska, yeah, though, at the time.
No, I mean, everybody went to Miami.
Yeah.
Me, or my dad, yeah, my two uncles, and, yeah, you know, so back then they had unlimited scholarships. But he was sold after that. I mean, he trusted Coach Osborne. You know, and Coach Osborne committed to me when the question I asked if I got hurt in an all-star game or something, mm-hmm, you know, a high school all-star game. It's like, you make a commitment to me, that's it. And it was, the rest is history. I liked it. It was close to home. My dad was able to be at every game, but he felt comfortable with the staff. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was about a month or so. He didn't really, we didn't really talk to me for a while.
He tried to throw me out the first day.
Yeah, he wasn't. He wasn't playing.
I wouldn't leave
around
your house.
Yeah. My dad, you step in there. You're in the lines then.
You better
playing,
be ready.
He wasn't playing any games. Sure. I mean, he went off on Barry Alvarez. I mean, he was literally was cussing Barry Alvarez out. But then he was trying to push back on Nebraska. And I think he might have known how well Nebraska would have been a good fit for me. Probably hoping that Miami would be the same. He probably knew it, and he knew how comfortable I felt, like, after I came back, you know. Mm-hmm. And he trusted, you know, Coach Osborne. I mean, mm-hmm, when all the coaches that came in were great. I mean, Gary Barnett and all those guys But, you know, Coach Osborne on a different level. Mm-hmm. I mean, it is. I mean, let's be honest. Mm-hmm. I mean, and he knew probably about Coach Osborne, you know. And Coach Osborne, I'm going to tell you what, one thing, Coach Osborne knew a lot about my dad as well, like, mm-hmm, besides the football stuff, mm-hmm, you know, and that really, I think, helped out a lot.
Ron was down there because you were a wing back.
Well,
I was a do it all.
He was a good athlete. Yeah, man.
I was 6 points, but I tell you, I remember asking him about the stats, and I was like, hey, you know.
We didn't throw the ball very much. Yeah. But he could have played on either side of the ball, but he was probably going to get more tackles than catches, put it that way.
Yeah. It would have been a lot more action and stuff like that. So it's
He didn't want to play wing back.
But he would have blocked.
I would have got it done.
Tore it up.
Oh, yeah. I know you would have. Yeah. I know you would have.
Yeah, but, you know, then, you know, actually when I committed, it was after my visit, and it must have had a long layover, and they were going to get – you're going to see Kenny Cheatham.
Oh, really? Yeah. Is that right?
And see, I played
recruited Kenny too.
Yeah, and I had played against Kenny in basketball four or five times in national tournaments or like other tournaments.
Yeah, because Kenny was from Texas, right?
No, you know, Arizona.
Arizona.
And he was a three-sport recruit.
Yeah.
Okay.
He was a three-sport All-American.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he was a
McDonald's All-American in basketball and track star.
Football.
Cheeto was a McDonald's All-American.
Mm-hmm. He was a real deal in hoops. We played. I played against him in hoops quite a bit, and I remember, you know, the day there he came. It was like right after school or whatever. I think I might have came home. I didn't really have a lot of classes my senior year, you know, because I was ahead, and Coach Brown was coming through. My dad was there, and you know, I didn't really tell my dad I was going to commit. I was sold once I got back. I was like, yeah, I think this is where I want to, go. My dad was like, take a couple of days, of course. You know, Miami called. But I was just like, you know what, I felt comfortable there. It's close enough to home. Felt, you know, like I'd figure it out somehow. It's either I would never play, but I'd still end up with a great education.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I liked Lincoln as well. And, you know, the rest is history. But Coach Brown did. He's like, so what you going to do? He said, well, where are we at? Hey, so don't get fooled by Coach Brown.
We were blessed to get you.
Yeah,
there's no question, man. You
got
to be willing to fight for some things, you know. Yeah. He was definitely one of those guys worth fighting for.
Yeah, it's interesting, though, how you reacted when Chuck, his dad, said that. Yeah. We ain't going to Nebraska.
Yeah. Well, you know, sometimes, you know, you realize that there's an emotional piece here. Not that dad doesn't know what he's talking about, but I'm sure his whole thing was, like Jay said, want to go to Miami.
Yep.
That's really the main thing.
Uh-huh.
And Jay had been looking around, and Jay's very, you know Jay, he's a logical, smart guy.
Yeah.
And so he was thinking it all through, but I was not going to just accept no that easily.
Yeah,
so,
it's interesting.
Yeah, 2 months, I mean, growing up, I mean, that was it. It was Miami or bust, and they were the first school that kind of, you know, back then you could call July 1st when they could really call, you know, and I had this little phone in my, you know, my room or whatever, and they could, you know, they could call that day. Yeah. So you're like, you know, some of my other friends were getting recruited, so, you know, you're wondering who called you. They offered the first day, and that was where I really, you know, kind of thought it's no different than kid growing up here, and, you know, and the whole family went there, and But then, you know, the way Nebraska recruited me when they got into it, other schools started recruiting me, and other schools started playing better. Then I was like, well, you know, yeah, Miami wins, but so does Nebraska. You know, this is, you know, started to kind of like see some things. And sometimes if a school that you are somewhat married to doesn't kind of recruit you the same way, then you're like, okay, well, then then Nebraska was like, you know, I was like, yeah, this is something that I need to really consider. And my wants changed. You get what I'm saying? Like, really what I wanted. Like, Miami was like, you know, you kind of, when you peeled back the onion, there were some things that I really didn't want, like the educational support here.
Yeah.
You know, a business school, the ability to have the tutors.
Business school, that's what you were looking at?
Yeah, and then, the amount of time that I was there with Keith Zimmer and Dennis LeBlanc was a major part of the recruiting thing.
Yeah, and that was still huge. Is, right?
Yeah. Huge for me, and and it was really huge for my dad as well.
That's interesting.
And so my dad never was talking about the pros. Never was even really talking about playing in college. He's like, you need to, I mean, he told me from the get-go. He's like, where do you want to go to school? I told him pretty much the top 25. He's like, well, boy, you better start playing some good football. I can't pay for you to go there.
Mm-hmm.
You need to go to college and get a good education and a real degree.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
That was the main focus. And then when the academic support and everything that when I brought the stuff back and showed him, then that opened his eyes as well. And then, you know, once I kind of focused, and my dad, he was just testing Coach Brown. I mean, my dad's going to see what
That's
you're
good.
Made of.
That's good.
Because he knew if Coach Brown didn't like push back or like really feel convicted about Nebraska, he knew that wasn't the place for me. There was other colleges that did. And so he knew he was steadfast, like, no, but that's where the trust came from.
He passed the test.
It's good to pass the test.
Well, you're lucky. Well, my grandma wasn't there. That's the true test. But she's way out in D.C. So, you know, she was probably pulling the strings, you know, from way back, you know, East Coast. But it all worked out.
Yeah, Dennis LeBlanc, and Keith Zimmer are still there, and they're still prominent. Yeah, yeah, prominent in this whole recruiting process.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, again, there's something to be said for longevity. In a world of change and all of that, there's something to be said for people who sink their roots down deep, mm-hmm. foundationally. And the message really shouldn't change. I mean, what was important to Jay Foreman mm-hmm. back then in the 90s should be important for a young man today.
Well, you hear it.
It should be.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it really and that's where, like, you know, and I'm not trying to devil in the past coaches and stuff, where they were they say you couldn't recruit here. Like, I could never really wrap my mind around it because I'm from Minnesota, but all my roots are from D.C., you know.
Okay, I always got to remember that.
And Dante Jones is from my area, Maryland area.
Okay.
And so when I was here, there was, you know, Dwayne Harrison from Alabama, Tyrone. I mean, so you're trying to tell me that all of a sudden that you can't bring guys from different parts of the country here when all the things that you're giving them is a lot more than what other schools give them. Now, probably the hard part is get them there, you know, get them here to kind of get on campus. And I'm sure Coach Brown, you know, once you get them on campus, it's like, wow, you know, this Nebraska isn't just farmland and just this big old stadium in the middle of the state. But I think that what Nebraska still provides from academic support, fan support, but then after potentially is really something that, you know, kids need to really take advantage of.
Mm. Interesting. Yeah, because, I mean, what you're talking about, all this stuff that was in place when you were recruited is still in place. I mean, it's like Ron said, it's so deeply rooted. And you definitely still hear kids say, man, you know, kids from other places, when they get here, they're like, I didn't expect it to look like this.
Right.
You know?
And that's where parents step in. When parents come, you know, Coach Osborne always had the philosophy, guys, we're recruiting these guys, let's get their parents in here. Because they're going to be looking further down the road than the average kid.
Oh, right. Yeah. Oh,
because
yeah.
You're able to look further down the road and say, hey, look, son, you need to consider this, right, mm-hmm. the other. And then a guy like Coach Osborne is never going to overinflate something. He's not going to exaggerate, you know, when you're going to, I'll get you on the field here in your freshman year. He's not making all these promises. Maybe the kids want to hear that.
Yeah.
Moms and dads really trust a man who isn't given a whole bunch of flowery promises. Yeah. That he's talking about foundational things in their life that they're
going to need. It was always striking to me that Jay said you were okay with redshirting.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You weren't one of those kids.
I remember the conversation. And yeah. I remember looking at I remember guys like that were so hurt or like wanted to play. I'm like, this is the best team in the nation. Okay. We just got done graduating from high school,
right.
And none of us are ready to play, right. except for Grant.
Very pragmatic.
That's good. That's
except
good
for Grant was.
Except for Grant, and Grant was.
Mm-hmm. He was raw.
He was raw, but mm-hmm. Grant was up. I mean, when mm-hmm. Grant was more ready-made than all of us. I mean,
is that right? He was that. There was that big of a gap between Grant
he was,
and everybody.
He was physically, he was 230.
Yeah.
He was, and he was. I mean, when Grant was out there, he was ready. I mean, he was
a nasty dude. We when I was recruiting
was
him,
was he?
Well, Coach Osborne, when I go down and recruit him, he played on the basketball team. You better be there early because he's falling out at the end of the first quarter.
Yeah, Grant couldn't play a lick of basketball.
I mean, he's just a maniac, you know. he's playing football on the basketball court.
He can't play. Grant can't play. Grant
can't tackle Grant on the court.
If Grant got out there at the halftime to make a layup free throw, and he's the dude that's going to end up on the internet. He ain't getting past the first one yet. He can't play basketball dead.
I didn't remember that gap was pretty big with Grant and the rest of them, though, when he got to Nebraska. I guess I should remember that, but I don't. Well, he was that good. He was that good.
He provided, you know, and again, he wasn't the finished product. There was still some things
that he had to
kind of continue to work on, but his tenacity, his size, and his strength, I think,
yeah, he was way
were
more
above
physically
and beyond
ready to go. That's what I felt like. Mm-hmm. I mean, look, he was a, you know, USA Today All-American and all that. Mm-hmm. But back to the story, there's a lot of guys that were like wanted to play as freshmen, and I'm just like, hey, go ahead, man. And I remember walking back on the track. Yeah. With Coach Osborne, and I had done well, you know.
In camp,
and had a really good scrimmage, and they were kind of like moving me and playing me with like Clint Brown and Larry Arnold, so I was going from scout team to playing second team, and, you know, so in getting a little bit on special teams. Coach Osborne was talking to me about it, and he's like, well, you're good enough to play. Do you want to play? you know, what do you think about redshirt? I was like, look, coach, we could just stop this conversation here. Mm-hmm. Okay. I know I need the redshirt. Mm-hmm. I'd never lifted weights before. Mm-hmm. You know, I kind of like stumbled the first like 6 days and then finally got my second win, mm-hmm. you know, because I mean, my body was in shock. Everything was, I mean, because I had never done any work like this before. So I was like, hey, yeah, why not take a redshirt year? You got Troy Dumas and Clint Brown and a host of other guys that are on scholarship, you know, that, you know, behind those guys. Why do I need to play? I mean, special teams, yeah, I could run down on a few kickoffs, but they had, like, Aaron Penland and all. Like, mm-hmm. it just didn't make sense. And I needed – then I was really wanted the red shirt because I could catch up in the weight room. Mm-hmm. But more importantly, I loaded up academically. That's what – so I could get – I was – I mean, it was school for me. You get, I mean, that was huge. My dad told me, don't make me come back down here.
Uh-oh.
Unwanted.
Uh-oh.
And you know what I'm saying? Yeah. So that's where I was at. And then I was fortunate to have two really good guys that played, which was Troy Dumas and Clint Brown.
Clint Brown, yes.
Yeah, who's he's coaching at Stephen F. Austin, I think.
Okay.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Whereas Troy, even when he was playing, and Troy ended up getting drafted playing in NFL and all Big Eight or whatever, even when I was in meetings, you know, us three would be sitting there, even when I had a question and I was no chance of playing, he took the time out to explain it to me and show me and tell me, you know, while I was watching. And then Clint Brown took me in the weight room and worked out with me during the season. That's what really helped me. So then as when I went to we were talking about with Rico yesterday how I went from not playing since November of my senior year, you know, the football season's over, in, you know, playoffs in Minnesota, to not playing a whole year, you know what I mean, and not, you know, because I'm redshirted, mm-hmm. then go through spring, and then how do you start? It's with Troy Brown or with Troy Dumas and Clint Brown, because Troy showed me on the film and how to be a leader and be a selfless, I guess, superstar per se, right? Because mm-hmm. a lot of times you get a guy that's, he's thinking about draft status or, you know, when, he's thinking about a lot of other things than I'm thinking about, and he's able to sit there and kind of coach me with Coach Sam, you know, and then here's Clint Brown, saw something in me and was like, hey, look, this kid actually wants to try to be good, mm-hmm. and maybe he knew the temperature of the other guys in the room, mm-hmm. and maybe he saw, like, hey, this guy needs some help, mm-hmm. and he took me in there, and he didn't have to do that. He was a senior as well, because mm-hmm. he's from out in Kearney somewhere, so, mm-hmm. you know, he was thinking about other stuff, and the next thing you know, I go through spring ball, started, now, granted, I did start, like, seventh on the depth chart, but then I ended up number one,
man,
and then rest is history, boom. So, yeah. you know, that's how I was fortunate. So, me thinking about redshirting, it worked out for me, but I also wasn't adverse to it because there's a lot of guys I wish, like, I'll tell you, like, Octavius McFarland is one of my good friends. Yeah. I wish he would have redshirted.
Really?
Because he, now I'm going to tell you one thing. Now, Tavy would, now he could hit. Now this one, Tavy, that's what the one thing he's going to do. He's going to knock your block off no matter what he's doing. Now, whether it's friendly fire mm-hmm. or the opponent, mm-hmm. something's getting destroyed, right? And so Tavy came from Texas, and mm-hmm. I always tell the story, kid from California, Texas, one of those southern schools, Georgia, Alabama, or states in Florida, they all think they played semi-pro football coming in high school.
Yeah.
Tavy's one of them. If you say you jumped 8 feet in the high jump, he jumped 8.5. Mm-hmm. If you ran a 4.5, he ran 4.49, right? But Tavy didn't redshirt. Still contribute, didn't play much because you had those guys, you know, you had what, Kareem Moss and Kareem Moss and Tony Veland. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
so the playing time isn't there. Mm-hmm. So then Tavy's ahead of me, you know, we came in together, mm-hmm. but when I play as a red shirt, he's a sophomore.
Yes.
Now, you know, but one thing I will tell you is Tavy had the experience before we played Oklahoma State. So he knew I was nervous, but he was right there with me. But I wish he would have been with me my senior year as well, because I know that once Tavy kind of actually moved down the linebacker, he started to kind of catch his, like, he kind of actually found a, in the wheel position linebacker, kind of found his, like, calling per se. And then, boom, his senior year's over. You get what I mean?
Oh, I totally get what you mean. Yeah, it's interesting. When I listen to you, I think of all these people who always ask me every time this time of year, Sip, what true freshmen do you think are going to play? What's true freshmen you think are going to play? What I always want to tell people is you hope that not None. Many of them.
Yeah.
I mean, what there's you some hope guys, is not many.
There's some guys, you know, I do, and I do feel like this. I'll tell you like this. I feel like just on the opposite, I would tell you this. I felt like Dominic Raiola should have been playing as a true freshman because he was just that good.
You remember Dominic?
There's, good? And that there's good? Some guys.
Absolutely.
There's some guys that are just that good. That are just, I mean, Will Shields, right? I mean, they're just some guys that just are there.
Yeah.
They're just there. Then some guys that kind of force their way on the field. And I'm sure now, you know, guys, you know, they're talking about going in the transfer portal because they don't get to suit up. Like what we did when we were redshirted, we had to make sure we left the dorms early to get there so we could get in our seats so we could actually watch the game.
Oh, God.
And you know what we did when
Think
we were up there?
That.
We're watching – you know, there's, you know, there's 11 robber. So we're actually watching the game versus worrying about, I mean, I'd say, now granted, would have been great to run out with the team, but all of us, right, we would be like, man, we look like some clowns out here with our shirt on, right?
Yeah. And there you have the mentality that you need to go further down the road. You know, I was thinking of Mike Rucker, who you were talking about as well. Mike needed a red shirt.
Right.
Did he really?
Because I recruited Mike,
yeah.
And Mike was a Mike linebacker in high school. But that wasn't going to be his position. Yeah, he's a tall dude. He's gangly. He needs to get his hand on the ground, but he needed time to develop. He ends up being a high draft pick in the NFL.
Yeah.
But because we didn't force him out on the field, but because there was a patience mentality that Jay's talking about.
Yeah.
Where guys developed, man. Eric Johnson. Yeah, you know, these guys, man, they needed So there's a sometimes when you're proud and you're trying to get all the accolades right now, you forfeit down the road what could be really important. Okay. And so, you talked about Jay being pragmatic. That's good thinking, man. And I wish more youngsters were thinking that way today and more parents were thinking that way.
I think I always say that people love the product. They love, you know, the shirts and getting out there on the field. They don't like the process. We were almost forced. Our team was so good. We couldn't come in. I couldn't go to Coach Sam's. Hey, man, I need to be playing. I need to be split with Troy Dumas. He'd be like, Chief.
Hey, right? Chief.
He'd be like,
right.
Chief.
Hey, Chief.
Chief. Troy is 240.
Yeah. Yeah.
You weighed in at what? 190, 187 today?
I need
this
to be
tight end from Colorado,
with
Matt Lepsis, is 270.
Yeah. Yeah.
Explain to me how you think you need to be split time. You know, so it's a little different. But the process that we went through, right? And the process is never isn't fun, right? The process is hard, right? It's humbling, okay? Because you spent, I mean, that first year, me, Mike Rucker, Wiltz, Trey Creighton, you don't know how many conversations we had walking back to Able Dorm after probably just getting our butts handed to us, how each one of us was, I mean, it could have been every 2 days one of us was thinking about quitting. Mm-hmm. Like, dude, like, man, I bet you if I went to Kansas State, I'd be playing or it ain't this hard.
Oh, man.
You know what I'm saying?
I do know
what
you're
saying. But then we had to be together like, dog, we can't quit. Right. You know, so that's the process that you go through. That's the, you know, going through the weight program and all that and actually understanding if you want to play, you got to want it more than somebody else. And you got to give up. I always talk about that. You got to give up something. Whether you got to sacrifice something if you want to get out there on the field. And I think a lot of kids, if they really understood the sacrifice that a lot of other players are giving, you know, say they're in high school and they see, I don't know, some linebacker from, I don't know, here, Ohio State or something. They see the product.
They see a product, but they don't understand what happened
he just
to
talked
get
about,
there.
He talked about Grant Wisdom, right?
Mm-hmm.
And even like I'm really close with Jason Peters, those two guys. Everybody is focused on the end product, right? When you try to say, oh, well, this is where they were. Grant, Jason, myself, Tommy, I can't speak for Mike Rozier. They weren't my teammates, but Mike Brown, Ralph Brown, none of the guys that are that you saw as the finished product were the product that started the process. You get what I'm saying?
Oh, I totally understand. Yeah,
that's true of Trev Albers as well.
Right.
Trev came in highly heralded, highly recruited. I remember Coach Osborne, John Melton, myself were in his home the day he committed to us. We were thrilled.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, Trev, as good as he was, really, we finally got it kind of figured out, I think. This is my opinion as an offensive coach. When we put his hand on the ground, he was a whole different guy. And it took a while for us to come to that conclusion and kind of redefine our defense and get a four-man front and so forth. But a guy like that, man, that's he would have been a terror from day one had we done that. So sometimes all of the redshirting and all of the patience is not only for the player. Sometimes it's for the coaches to be able to
good
see,
point.
You know, and kind of figure out what you got here.
Yeah.
Yep.
Right.
It's complicated. I mean, football's complex. It's
complex, but it's not.
Mm-hmm. Because I always lean towards complex.
If you have Coach Brown, see, this is why you're here, because this is the conversation we have. Right, football. There's still one football. Okay, it's still 100 yards long, and I don't know, was it 51 point whatever? Why, whatever the heck it is, they ain't changed the field yet. Okay, this isn't Canada, so it's not really that complex. If you have the fundamentals and the foundation, all the complexity becomes easier.
Okay,
football becomes super complex when you don't have a starting ground. That's the thing that I learned from Coach Osborne and those guys. This is what we are built on. Now, we can do all this other stuff with us, right? Because we started putting in some shotgun stuff. I remember with Brooke, we had shotgun. Mm-hmm. We do all that stuff, right? We do like the smoke screens.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, we're going to beat you up front. And if you can't handle that,
that's right.
Then that's when we can do all that stuff.
That's right.
You know, and
that's
so
exactly right.
I think that, long story short, you know, it's like the part of getting to places and getting there with different players is trying to get them out of their own way.
That's a lot part of times. Of it.
And
yep.
that's a huge part of kids these days.
Mm-hmm.
Get out, because they worry about so many other things that are so minute.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like you can't worry about an NIL deal when you're on the same sideline as me and Coach Brown during you're not even out there, right? So. Let's get out there first, and then let's worry about all the again. Where's your foundation?
Right.
Is your foundation football,
that's right.
or is it all the stuff that's out there?
When I say complex, I think there's a lot that has to fall into place to be good. I mean, to win 10, 11, 12 games, that's where I talk about complex, because a lot has to fall into place, not only with what you're running schematically, but – like what Ron said about Trev Alberts, figuring out what works best for all these different players and then putting it all together.
Right.
And I don't think it's complex necessarily to be a bad team, but I think it's really complex if you're going to be really good.
Yeah. I mean, I think, Coach Brown, you got way more experience than me, but I think in order to be sustainably good.
Yeah, it's complex
to me. You got to be able to take your hard hat and lunch pail, and it ain't changing whether you're playing up in north in Minnesota, down south against Texas, east, west. When you step off that bus, whether you're a seven, you're the prettiest seven out there. You know what you're going to get. Now, all the other stuff, that comes in. That's where the complexity comes into. Can you adjust from what you originally do and maybe start out doing something else so you get to where you want at the end of the game? That's where it's complex.
Yeah.
Or getting out your own way. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to tell you this right now. For you Husker fans, that there is no comparison, and I love Garrett Nelson, okay? There's no comparison between Grant Wistrom and Garrett Nelson. But I will tell you this, when somebody asked me about Garrett, one of the best things that I saw Shenander and Dawson do was two seasons ago at Purdue, when Garrett Nelson primarily put his hand in the ground. I think he might have had two sacks, right? So it wasn't last season, it was the season before.
Yeah.
And remember, because DiCaprio Buddha was here, and they were interviewing Scott. And remember, we had two block punts or something like that, right?
Right.
That was 2 years
Levi
ago.
Right?
Falk and somebody
so,
else. Mm-hmm.
Right. So then when his hand went in the ground, you saw his – I call it – we always did efficiency rating for Coach Sam. How efficient and how effective you are, whether it's making a tackle, sack, or blowing up a play, it went way up, right?
Mm-hmm.
that's what, you know, you're probably mostly likely going to see a lot more this year. I'd like to think so. Effectiveness of where you can really, really be a game wrecker with your hand in the ground. Less sinking, more natural.
You see right. Garrett's hand in the ground more, you think, is that what you're saying?
Oh, I mean, it was last year. You saw like when he had his hand in the ground,
and he's bulked up. Yeah. So that's probably where they're going.
Well, I don't know. I mean, that's just he likes to lift weights. You know, the only time that he didn't really think about is when he got his pistol whipped against Oklahoma. I told him the play was coming. Hey, sometimes Coach Brown, you can tell him, right? They think the old bull don't know nothing, know anything, right? I know exactly what he was thinking. This old dude don't know nothing. I said, Garrett, listen here. When that running back is all set outside of that tackle, you got business. Either you got coverage or somebody's coming to hit you upside your head. Okay? Well, they flared that running back out there. He running around the running back, old Bob Stoops kid. Next thing you saw, Garrett was horizontal like that.
I said, hey, man,
you learned your lesson. He's like, oh, yeah, coach, I learned my lesson. Never got him again, though.
Yeah, he did.
And the reason why I know, because it happened to me.
Yep.
It happened to me. And that's fascinating. And I know we got to go. Here's how football hasn't changed. When Seattle had Sean Alexander, they used to run essentially the same play. And I remember it to this day. Coach Wade Phillips said, hey, listen here. When they're running to the short side of the field and that in the receiver's in a negative split, if you're off the ball linebacker, they're coming for
you. Somebody's coming.
Now, listen here. I saw it happen to Zach Thomas.
Yeah.
Here I am. I'm Jay Foreman. Yeah. This ain't going to happen to me, right? Okay. Well, hey, he got me. He didn't get me like he could have.
Right.
He got me. But let me tell you something. The next time they tried to do that play, I literally took off for him.
Did you?
Oh, yeah. And then, like, kind of ricocheted off him. But let me tell you, I didn't get put to sleep, but I got your bell rung, you know.
That's interesting.
You got to be selfless out there, and you got to, hey, look, it's not perfect. Mm-hmm. I've had my butt kicked, but I'll make sure of trying to hope you don't, you know, because that's not fun getting that ear hold like that, Sip.
Yeah, I don't imagine. Well, that's great. Hey, Ron, thank
you. Coach, it has been a pleasure this morning having you here in studio. Yeah, we thank you for your time and tell us everything that's going on, and we'll hope to hear you sometime in the future as well.
Thanks for having me. I enjoyed it, guys.
All right.
Love seeing Jay again, too.
Yeah.
DP is back. Old School is next for Steve Sipple and Ron Brown. I'm Jake Sorensen. See you.
Thank you, Jake.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.